Lufthansa strike grounds hundreds of flights.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson with the global perspective on business and economics. German airline Lufthansa has canceled most of its flights today because of an employee strike. The BBC's Steve Evans joins me now from Berlin. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Stacey.
So tell us a little bit about this strike. Why are workers not working today?
Well, on the face of it, it's a pay dispute. 5.1% they want, but there's a background to it. Just like everywhere, their airlines, the old established airlines, are feeling the pressure from the new budget airlines. And in Lufthansa's case, they want to set up their own budget airline. And the staff in Lufthansa think that'll mean worse conditions, that'll mean less secure employment. So there's discontent about that.
Well, speaking of that, what does this mean for passengers who have Lufthansa tickets today?
It means they're stuck in seats in airports, particularly in the big hub airport of Frankfurt. And then they look at what happens tomorrow. It's a 24-hour strike, for example. Take this passenger, Ruth Rogers, trying to get back to the West Coast.
We have just flown from Newark today and flown about 8 hours and are pretty tired. So we're here and stranded and really don't know too much what to do. But I think we're going to get a hotel here. And we understand maybe the flights will be flying again tomorrow.
So that's Ruth Rogers there. You know, she doesn't sound that distressed, but it's 24 hours out of her day. And we all know that Americans don't get the kind of vacations that Europeans get. 24 hours adds up to a good chunk of your vacation.
That is very true. The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Steve, thank you.
You're welcome.
Flights may be grounded today, but the markets are taking off. London's FTSE is up 0.6%. Germany's DAX is up 0.75%. U.S. markets ended last week on an up note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stepped up a bit to 14,547.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The word entitlement is all over the place in Washington these days.
I've put forward a plan that calls for serious spending cuts, serious entitlement reforms.
Fox Business presenting a special series called Entitlement Nation, Makers versus Takers.
From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark brings us another installment in our series on financial safety nets with this word of the day.
Here's the technical definition.
Entitlement, a government benefit to a person who meets the requirements established by a law.
Somehow it seemed appropriate to have a robot read that. But of course, we humans bring a lot of extra baggage to the word. Norman Ornstein is a political scientist who co-wrote the book Debt and Taxes.
The critical issue here is not what the formal definition of entitlement is. It's how the word is used.
And just to quickly illustrate that point, entitlement. What does that word mean to you? On the street, this definition comes up a lot.
It's almost like a right.
You did something in order to get it.
Something you've earned.
But entitlement can also mean just the opposite.
Something that you get without actually maybe working for it.
Oh, you just feel like you're entitled.
That's my girlfriend. She has a sense of entitlement for everything.
You see the mixed messaging. And Norman Ornstein says those conflicting meanings actually echo a major philosophical debate
about what government should be doing and what people are entitled to from government.
That debate can get muddied by all those different meanings of the word entitlement. Take Social Security. People often defend the program because they say they've earned it. But as economist Richard Birkhauser of Cornell reminds his students,
when they go home for Christmas and the grandparents say, look, all we're doing is getting what we paid into the system. Actually, that's not true. The first generation of Social Security recipients got way more in benefits than they ever paid in to the system.
And that's still often the case. Meanwhile, Norman Ornstein says programs that target the poor, often seen as government handouts, they help lots of people who've paid taxes that fund government benefits too.
We have a world now where people go in and out of work. You don't have a group of people sitting back, never having worked, getting benefits while the working population pays.
So as we debate entitlement spending, of course, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but first we might want to figure out which sense of entitlement we're even talking about. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace. Today, the Dutch group Mars One announced a plan to fund a human colony on Mars by turning the process into a reality television show. Sabri Benisher has the story.
In the beginning, back in the 90s, there was MTV's The Real World.
What happens when people stop being polite?
And Survivor, 10 years later.
I would let the vultures take you.
Then came Child Beauty Queen Honey Boo Boo.
You better wear knickknacks.
And at some point, we started getting shows about crabbers and truckers.
Duck hunting. Comic book men. Alaskan women looking for love.
Janine Poggi is with Ad Age magazine.
Well, reality in general is just cheap to make, and I think that's why you see just a prevalence of it.
Agata Kochanowska is an analyst with Ibis World. She says reality TV has underperformed compared to other genres in terms of earnings for the show's producers, and it'll continue to do so.
During the next 5 years, television production revenue is forecast to grow at an annualized rate of 4.9% compared to 2.8% for reality TV.
But reality TV can definitely still strike gold. Big network productions like The Voice earn $240,000 for a commercial, almost as much as sitcom Two and a Half Men, according to Ad Age. And even A&E's Duck Dynasty, a show about people who make duck calls, has 8 million viewers. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally, one bar in Brooklyn is offering customers a hair of the dog remedy. Well, more like a hair of the downward-facing dog. The Cobra Bar now holds hangover yoga classes on Sundays. Poses specially address headaches and fatigue. The class costs $15 and includes a free drink. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.